Good morning. So Enterobacteriaceae are a normal part of the gut bacteria, and common examples include Klebsiella species and E. coli. Carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriaceae, or CRE, are bacteria resistant to nearly all antibiotics and cause more than 9,000 healthcare-associated infections each year. The mechanism of resistance among CRE that is of currently greatest public health concern is carbapenemase enzymes. CRE that produce carbapenemase are known as carbapenemase-producing CRE, or CPCRE. And carbapenemases of concern include Klebsiella pneumoniae carbapenemase, or KPC, New Delhi metallo-beta-lactamase, or NDM, Verona integrin-encoded metallo-beta-lactamase, or VIM, and imipenemase metallo-beta-lactamase, IMP, and oxacillinase 48, or OXA48. Since KPC was first recognized in the United States in 2001, Enterobacteriaceae resistant to carbapenems and other antibiotics have emerged and spread throughout the United States. The rise and spread of CPCRE is alarming because carbapenem antibiotics are often used as the last line of treatment for infections that are caused by highly resistant bacteria. In addition to being difficult to treat, infection caused by these organisms are associated with high mortality, and carbapenemase-producing CRE can easily transfer their resistance among other Enterobacteriaceae and other bacteria. CRE are not currently reportable in North Carolina, so in March of 2015, the North Carolina Division of Public Health implemented a sentinel surveillance system to characterize CRE infections and colonization among patients that were admitted to 7 of our largest medical centers, and this was done to assess for the prevalence of specific mechanisms of resistance. To conduct this surveillance, we utilized our hospital-based public health epidemiologist network. Public health epidemiologists, or PHEs, are employees that are hospital employees funded through public health, and they routinely assist us with disease surveillance, public health investigations, and also help enhance our communication between providers and public health. Their surveillance sites are shown here, and they're geographically spread throughout the state. The goals of our surveillance system were to describe the burden of CRE among patients admitted to these primary medical centers, to assess for the presence and prevalence of specific mechanisms of resistance, to increase awareness of CRE by both public health and healthcare providers, and to increase the ability to detect and investigate outbreaks of CRE. We defined a case as any identification of any Enterobacteriaceae from any site or specimen source that were not susceptible to a carbapenem and resistant to one or more third-generation cephalosporin. We also included isolates that were positive for carbapenemase by phenotypic or molecular methods, and we included isolates from any patient 1 year of age or greater between March 1st, 2015 and March 31st, 2016, and we included the first positive isolate per hospital admission. Our PHEs were asked to routinely review their laboratory data for CRE positive results and to submit a case report form within 1 week of case identification. Information from the case report form was collected from the patient's medical record and any other available source, and we collected information on the demographics, risk factors, information on the specimen, and laboratory information, and so this included the testing conducted on the isolate at the facility. And we also assessed patient outcome data to assess mortality. Case report forms were submitted to us through a web-based interface. So as I said, we requested submission of one isolate per case, and our State Laboratory of Public Health conducted molecular testing for common resistance mechanisms, KPC and NDM, following CDC protocol. And if an isolate tested negative for NDM or KPC, there was a reflex test designed to test for OXA48. Those testing negative for all three of these resistance mechanisms were sent to CDC for further testing if they met predefined criteria. So we matched our case report forms to corresponding isolates by medical record number and date of specimen collection, and these results were shared regularly with our facilities. We calculated summary statistics, which described demographics, risk factors, specimen information, patient outcomes, and we calculated the proportion of CRE that were carbapenemase producing. And then we also did a sub-analysis, which restricted to cases associated with infections, so we excluded our screening cultures and calculated the proportion of CRE associated with infections that were carbapenemase producing and described the most common mechanism of resistance. We performed chi-square and Fisher exact tests to assess whether there were important differences between cases classified as carbapenemase producing CRE and cases that were CRE resistant due to other mechanisms. This data includes all available isolates in a 13-month period, and of the 240 isolates that were collected, 16 were excluded for not meeting our case definition. This was most often because they were duplicate isolates sent during a single hospital admission, or the isolates were collected through an outpatient encounter. And then an additional 12 were excluded because we did not have a case report form available at the time of analysis. So the majority of our cases were aged 45 years or older with a median age of 56. And the majority of our patients from whom CRE was isolated were white. There is a large percentage of patients that identified as black, which suggests that this group may be disproportionately affected, but our surveillance was not population-based. 56% of our isolates were from routine screening cultures, and the remaining 94 were from cases that were associated with clinical infections. Of those that were associated with a clinical infection, the most common infections were urinary tract infections, bacteremia, and pneumonia. The data shown here include both of our infected and colonized patients, and it shows the major healthcare exposures that were captured on our case report form. So during the 90 days before specimen collection, you can see that 169, or 90% of our patients, had received antibiotics. That first bar is going to be antibiotics. The second bar is 85%, that's indwelling devices or surgeries. And 30% had a history of residence in a long-term care facility, while 14% had a history of CRE. And the 1% is medical care outside of the United States. I'm not sure how that got switched. I apologize. I can send some updated slides. So the majority of our patients had reported a indwelling device or surgical procedure, and the median number of procedures for patients was 4, with a range from 0 to 18 per patient. Devices were more common than surgeries, so more than half of our patients had a central catheter or urinary catheter, and other common devices you can see here, they include mechanical ventilators and endotracheal tubes, and 23% of our cases reported surgery. This slide shows the most common underlying conditions among patients with CRE positive results. So the most common conditions included cancer, a history of a multi-drug resistant organism other than CRE, and diabetes. Our outcome data are limited to the information that was available at the time of report, so we were asking a case report form be submitted within 1 week of case identification. So at the time of report, we had outcome data on 75% of our cases. And of note, a third of our patients were transferred to another facility on discharge. So now that we've gone through some of the FB info, I just want to go through our laboratory results. 3 primary organisms were associated with CRE isolates. The majority of isolates were Klebsiella, followed by Enterobacter and E. coli. So as we mentioned previously, the lab tested for 2 primary mechanisms of carbapenemase production, KPC and NDM. And if we look at our PCR results by organism, 79% of our Klebsiella isolates were carbapenemase producing CRE, and very few of our Enterobacter were carbapenemase producing, only 22%, and 4% of our E. coli isolates were carbapenemase producing. Since we had a large number of screening cultures, we wanted to separate for isolates that were associated with infection versus colonization. But we can see that when we separate that, there aren't really any interesting differences. We still see approximately half of our cases as carbapenemase producing. Next, we were interested in whether there were important differences in cases with isolates that tested positive for KPC or NDM, so those that were carbapenemase producing, and those that were resistant due to other mechanisms. So when looking at our demographic characteristics, we did not find any significant differences in age or gender distribution between cases associated with carbapenemase-producing CRE and CRE-resistant due to other mechanisms. But when looking at race, we did find a significant difference, with slightly more cases of carbapenemase-producing CRE identifying as white than cases with CRE-resistant due to other mechanisms. UTIs were more commonly associated with carbapenemase-producing CRE than with CRE that was resistant due to other mechanisms, and pneumonia and bacteremia were more often associated with CRE resistant due to other mechanisms than with carbapenemase-producing CRE. So similarly, urine was a more common specimen source for carbapenemase-producing CRE, while respiratory specimens were more common among cases associated with CRE resistant through other mechanisms. When considering our healthcare exposures, we find significant differences between the two groups, with cases with a previous history of CRE or history of living in a long-term care facility more likely to be associated with carbapenemase-producing CRE. The data presented on this slide are restricted to our isolates that were associated with infection. And the percentage shows the percent of CRE isolates that were carbapenemase producing. So in the central part of our state, we see that approximately one-third of our isolates were tested positive for carbapenemase production. And in the western region, 72% of isolates tested positive for carbapenemase production. In the eastern region, we see that 80% of our isolates tested positive, but it's important to note that very few isolates were sent from this region. We only received 5 during the surveillance period. So we can see that there's variability both in the number tested by region and variability in the proportion tested that were carbapenemase producing. Based on these results, we can see that healthcare exposures were common among patients with CRE, including indwelling devices and a recent history of antibiotics. Transfer of CRE patients in our state is common, and this includes transfer from long-term care facilities and to long-term care facilities upon discharge. This highlights the regional nature of CRE transmission and emphasizes the need for regional control efforts. The majority of our CRE isolates tested positive for KPC, which is the most common mechanism of resistance nationally. Our surveillance system is limited by the fact that we only captured inpatient data, and it was collected from 7 hospitals in North Carolina, which is not representative of all healthcare settings in our state. Additionally, antimicrobial susceptibility testing may vary by facility, and there may be variability in screening practices, which can impact detection. Our surveillance at this point is ongoing as we're analyzing our data and determining our best next steps, but we plan to perform some additional analysis, restricting to isolates associated with infection, and to describe the findings of additional testing on our isolates that were resistant through other mechanisms. Our surveillance results are also being used for antimicrobial resistance prevention activities and program planning. So our data will be used to drive decisions surrounding screening and prevention measures, particularly in long-term care settings. And we're considering how best to implement regional control efforts. There's clearly a need for increased detection of CPCRE for adequate public health response. So we're utilizing this data to drive recommendations for continued surveillance, whether that's on a regional level or statewide. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We have a couple minutes for questions. Heather, maybe you could say a little bit more about, please come up to the microphone. Yeah. I'll just start off with a question about the thinking about going forward with surveillance. As you mentioned, regional or statewide approaches.
Yeah, we're really just starting our talks about what to do next. I think ideally, the need is for statewide surveillance, but just whether or not the resources are available. So the case report form that we use right now is pretty time intensive. We're asking for a lot of risk exposure information, and it takes facilities around 40 minutes to complete a single case report form. So obviously, if we chose to go statewide, we would need to reduce the amount of information we were trying to quantify. So that's sort of where our discussion is.
Go ahead.
Hi, Maureen from Nebraska. That was an excellent presentation.
Thank you.
You may not be able to say this directly, but Durham probably might have your highest percentage of CRE. Was that included as one of your state surveillance? I know you may not be able to say hospitals, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, so one of our public health epidemiologist sites is in Durham.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's great to see this in conjunction with what we saw this morning, and try to see how do we start to really make some of these things happen. In a state health department, we don't have any mathematical modelers. We have mathematical confabulators, but we'll I think we'll we see helping us see our way through. If you in Tennessee or in North Carolina, you're setting up a lot of interesting surveillance here to try to get a handle on how much community, CRE is out there. Because I mean, we're tending to capture things through the hospitals. We're capturing things in the medical settings. We're doing laboratory-based surveillance, but we're following up really with the healthcare facilities, and we're not getting a good handle on people who are really outpatient, really outpatient oriented.
I think that's definitely a limitation to this data that's presented today, is that we were only looking at inpatient. I know that our laboratory, when applying for case funding, is hoping to expand that to do some outpatient surveillance as well.
Would they be getting isolates from outpatient type settings?
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure out how to do that. So we've been reaching out to facilities that might be interested in participating if funding is available.
Mary, are you thinking of something along that line? Or?
In the Memphis area, we have a large reference lab, AEL, that looks predominantly at outpatients and doesn't get many inpatients. So for 2015, they submitted probably about 110 phenotypic CREs at only 1.2% for carbapenemase producers. First quarter of this year, 12% are positive for carbapenemase producers. So that's really reflective of what is happening in the community. So it really worries me that in Memphis we don't just have hospital-based, but we also have things going on in the community, including some nursing homes. We also have that's one of the reasons we have reporting to our communicable disease surveillance system, not just to NHSN, because we want to go and capture some of that in the community. And some of our hospital labs actually perform testing for many of the surrounding nursing homes and outpatients areas. So we do capture them for that reason, but you need to divide them up as to how many are hospital associated versus outpatient.
Yeah, I mean, try to get the modeling going for the outpatient side will be really interesting. I'm not sure how you do that, but.
Other questions? Thanks very much.
Thank you.